Our reading today is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. Paul writes, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Mike.
Thank you so much, Josh. Well, Paul is writing this letter from prison. Now, most of us have not been in prison, but we have all been in lockdown, which has been a kind of captivity. It means we've missed wedding days and graduation ceremonies and family trips to the theatre and long-planned holidays. Most of all, we've missed people we love. So many people I've spoken to, we know, you know, we're not in prison. We know we're not in a refugee camp in Aleppo or in Beirut, or we know we've not had our houses blown away by a hurricane. We've got perspective, but it's still been hard, really hard. And it's okay to say that. See, it's been hard because God made us for relationships. We need other people. So to go without our family, our friends, our church family is a very real sort of deprivation. As I shared at the prayer meeting a few weeks ago, I've had some really dark, dark days, and I know that others have too. And although things are beginning to ease and we've started to have the chance to meet up with more people, for many of us, the future is still uncertain. What will it be like at school, starting uni? What will happen when the furlough scheme ends? And so many of us face the future with a knot of anxiety in our stomachs. And as I said, Paul is writing from prison. He is cut off from the people he loves. There are others going round rubbishing his reputation. His future is very uncertain. He may be set free. He may face the death penalty. And yet he's not anxious. He's not down. In fact, he says he is profoundly content. Look at verse 12. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Well, friends, as you look into the autumn, wouldn't you love to be in on Paul's secret? Two things. You want to be in on Paul's secret? To be content in any and every situation. First, don't tie your contentment to circumstances. Don't tie your contentment to circumstances. Paul's in prison. And in prison, in those days, you had to provide your own food. You had to get friends and relatives to look after you. And Paul's got nothing. Apart from Timothy, there's no one else around. And so what happens is the Philippians have a collection and they send Epaphroditus with a kind of care package for Paul. And this isn't just a bus ride. This is a 3-month round trip. Epaphroditus nearly died on the journey. And so this letter is Paul writing to thank them. But this is a very strange thank you letter. We are 3.5 chapters into the letter and he's not actually mentioned their gifts. And then when he does mention their gifts, do you see what he says? Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Do you hear what he's saying? I rejoice greatly at the way you care for me. You've always been concerned about me, and here you are again showing your concern by sending Epaphroditus to me with blankets and food. But you realize I didn't need it. I was perfectly content. What? Well, how would you feel? How would you feel? You scrape some money together to give to a friend who's fallen on hard times, and they text you, and the text says, thanks for your money, but you know, I didn't really need it. How would you feel? What do you mean, Paul, you didn't need it? You're in prison. Of course you... What is Paul doing? Well, he's doing what he's been doing throughout this letter. He's retuning their hearts. He's saying, you think because my circumstances are hard, because I'm in prison, I am in need. Of course. I mean, that's how we all think. Our circumstances are up. We're in good health. We've got the grades. We're offered the job. We have a hatful of friends. We live in a lovely home. Our circumstances are up. We're up. And then our circumstances come crashing down. We get ill, or we fail our exams, or we lose the job, or we don't really like where we live, or we are lonely, and we are down. And so life becomes this exhausting roller coaster. Life is good, we are up. Life is bad, we are down. And you see what Paul says? Verse 11, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. That language of learning, learned to be content, suggests it didn't come easily. It took time. But over the years, this is what the Lord has taught him. So that he can now say, verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Think, I know the ups. I know the downs. But over the years, the Lord has taught me to be content whatever the circumstances. When the cupboard is full, I'm content. And when the cupboard is empty, I'm content too. When I get the job, I'm content. And when I don't get the job, I'm still content. So he's saying to them, look, I'm really grateful for your care, but you need to know I was doing okay. You need to know that even in prison, I'm content. You say, why? How? Because I've learned not to tie my contentment to the ups and downs of circumstances. So what has he learned to do? Not that he's trained himself to stop caring, to become hard or indifferent. No, instead of tying his contentment to circumstances that go up and down, what he's learned to do is to tie his contentment to the one who does not go up and down, to tie his contentment to Christ. So, friends, don't tie your contentment to circumstances. Tie your contentment to Christ. You see, if they put you in prison, if you didn't get the grades, if you're facing long-term illness, if a relationship breaks down, it's so hard to rejoice. Because it feels like you've lost the thing you needed to be happy. And so the question is, how do you keep going? How do you keep going when those things fall through? Well, see what Paul says? Verse 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That him is Christ. He's saying, I've not learned some kind of stiff upper lip self-sufficiency. I've learned Christ's sufficiency. I can do all this. I can do all things. I can face all circumstances. I can face all the ups and all the downs, all of life. I can face them through Christ who gives me strength. Do you see what he's saying? It's very beautiful, because what he's saying as a Christian is not just someone who assents to truth about Christ. He's saying a Christian is someone in whom the Christ who is alive and the Christ who is Lord is powerfully at work. He is powerfully at work in you. So when the call comes from the hospital and the doctor needs to speak to you, you may feel small and helpless and overwhelmed. And you say, I don't know how I can get through this. But you see, if you're a Christian, whatever you face, you don't face it alone. You face it with Christ. And he is powerfully at work in you. Whatever you face, he gives you the strength that you need. That's what Paul's learned. That's what he's experienced. And you say, but how exactly? What is the difference Christ makes? Let me put it like this. Let's say my ambition was to be a ballet dancer. I live for ballet. For me to live is ballet. If ballet is my reason for getting out of bed in the morning, you know, it's my joy, it's my life. Tuesday, I am dancing away, doing ballet, I am happy. Wednesday, I break my ankle and I can never dance again. You see, Wednesday, breaking my ankle means I've lost my reason for getting out of bed in the morning. I have lost my joy. But Paul says, do you remember back in chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ. Christ is the reason for getting out of bed in the morning. He's saying, if he is my joy, if he is my life, then on Tuesday, I have 100 reasons to rejoice. Why? Because I'm forgiven of all my sin. I am loved with a love that will never let me go. I am a child of God. I have a purpose in life. I have a future in a world made new to look forward to. See, on a Tuesday, I have 100 reasons to rejoice if I have Christ. And then if on a Wednesday I break my ankle, or I don't get the grades I need, or I lose my job, or the house falls through, then it will be hard. But do you see, my life has not imploded. Because on Wednesday, whatever happens, I still have Christ. He is my life. I live for him. If I still have Christ, then I'm still forgiven of all my sin. I'm still loved with a love that will never let me go. I'm still a child of God. I still have a purpose in life. I still have a future and a world made new to look forward to. Yes, I have reasons to cry. But if I have Christ, I can still sing for joy because I have even more reasons to rejoice. The 100 reasons I had for singing on Tuesday haven't changed. Do you see? Christ is the great unchanging reality in Paul's life. And while all else goes up and down, Christ is constant. And what that means is if I tie my contentment to him, then even in the hardest of times, I'm still able to rejoice. I still have reasons to sing. And friends, when you see Christians who have learned what Paul has learned, it's incredibly powerful. It's one of the most powerful testimonies to the reality of Christ, the goodness of Christ. I think of a Nigerian bishop I met on a conference last year. And he talked about how three times assassins tried to kill him. One time, 40 men showed up and they raped and they beat up his wife. They burned his house down and he lost everything. And in the teeth of all that, his wife and he started an orphanage for over 50 children in the garden. Instead of bitterness or anger, they had this extraordinary joy. And I was almost envious. Talking to him, I was almost envious of how real Jesus was to him, how precious Jesus was to him. He reminded me of the merchant in the story that Jesus told. Do you remember? Jesus tells a story of a merchant who sells everything he has to buy one pearl. Because when you have this one pearl, when you have Christ, then you have the one treasure worth having. See, if you have him, what that means is whatever happens to you, you have a joy that cannot be taken from you. You may lose everything. But as Paul says about himself, even in prison, he's not in need. He's not in need because he has Christ, and Christ has met all his deepest needs. He's not in need. That's the note he ends on. Do you see that in verse 19? And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. It's not a promise that life will always be lovely, that you'll pass all your exams and you'll never get sick and you'll meet the man of your dreams. When he says, God will meet all your needs, it's not the same as saying God will give you all that you want. We want things to go well, don't we? We want to get the job. I want to make the grade. I want to not get sick. And so when things are hard, when we don't get what we want, we become disillusioned with God. We say, well, where is he? How could he let this happen? Doesn't he care? Oh, friends, he cares. He cares so much that he won't always give us what we want, but he'll give us what we need. And our greatest need is for Jesus. So you can have everything else. You can have everything else, but if you don't have Jesus, you are poor. You are poor because everything you have will break or rust or get lost or fade or fail or end in dust, and death will leave you with nothing, worse than nothing. But if you have Jesus, you are rich. You have treasure. You have the one who will never break, never rust, never fade, or never fail. You have the one who truly satisfies our hearts because he is the one whose love our hearts were made for. And he's the one who will love us forever and ever. If you have him, you are rich. You say, well, hold on. This is a bit strange. Does that mean we don't help people in difficult circumstances? We should just let them go through hard times because it'll be good? Of course we should help. Of course we should help. But we mustn't talk or act as though all people need is a change of circumstances. Your greatest need is not a job. Your greatest need is Christ. And when we get that, That transforms the difficult circumstances that we might find ourselves in. So, well, how? Maybe today is very hard for you. you've not got the life that you dreamed of. If you tie your contentment to circumstances, you will spend your days longing for your circumstances to change. You say, if only I had a different job. If only I had someone to marry. What if things don't change? And you will start to shake your fists at God and you will say, why is he not giving me what I need? And you'll stop reading your Bible and you'll stop listening to sermons and you won't pray anymore. And in your heart, you'll become very bitter. But you see how Paul is in prison. He's not bitter. He's full of joy. He is content, even in prison, because what he has learned is that the Lord is good and he does give us what we need. Not always what we want, but what we need, because he gives us Christ. So tie your contentment to him. And instead of longing for just a change in circumstances, long for more of him. In those hard times, spend more time with him. More time with your Bible open. More time in unhurried prayer. Ask him, Lord, in this situation, how can I obey you? How can I please you? How can I go your way so that I grow closer to you, so there's more of you in my life? That's why Paul is so thrilled at the Philippians giving him this gift. It's not the gift that thrills him, but the fact that in the face of their own hardship, they focused on Jesus. And they asked, in this situation, what would please Jesus? Oh, yes, Jesus calls us to put others first. So let's take a collection. Let's see how we can help Paul in prison. You see what Paul says, verse 17? Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. You see, it's not the gift that I want. What really excites me is that by going the way of Jesus, by sending this gift to me, you are experiencing more of the riches that we find in Christ. You are growing closer to him. That's what excites me. It's what the bishop and his wife did. They said, what would please Jesus? Even in this situation, how can we grow closer to him? So they started an orphanage. Boy, did they know Christ. And did they have joy. Friends, I wonder what it would look like for you in the face of your hard circumstances. Instead of just longing for things to change, instead of growing bitter, what would it look like for you to long for more of Christ? Brothers and sisters, when life is hard, don't close your Bible up. Don't block your ears at the sermons. Don't stop praying. But pour out your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, more than anything, I want to know you better. I want to grow closer to you. For me to live is Christ. And the way to grow closer to Jesus is to walk his way, to go the way he calls us to go, the way of others first. So even though your days might be hard, think beyond yourself. Think of the needs of others. Make that phone call. Drop that note through the door. Get involved with caring for those who are sleeping rough in our city. Visit someone who's sick. Go for a walk with someone who needs a friend. And before you do it, it'll feel like the last thing you want to do, and you'll do it, and you'll come home, and you'll say, yep, today was a hard day. I didn't get the results I wanted. But you will go to bed content. You better say, today was a hard day, but it was a good day. Because today was a day when I lived the life I was created for. Because today I said, for me to live is Christ. And today I lived for Jesus. And so I grew closer to him. And growing closer to him, I experience more of the one treasure that is worth having. More of the love that my heart was made for. The love that satisfies. And so I am, like Paul, content, even though life is hard. And friends, I fear that one of the reasons in the West that we think Jesus is just okay is because for so many of us in the West, life has been lovely. We haven't had to learn what Paul has learned. We've tied our contentment to circumstances and they have been okay. We haven't needed to tie our contentment to Christ. And so we've never really experienced how he is really all that we need. We've never experienced how good he is. We've kind of not had to. People have talked about how this pandemic is apocalyptic, they've said. Well, it's a word that's kind of come to mean a world-ending disaster. Actually, the word apocalypse means a revelation. And it seems to me this pandemic is apocalyptic in the sense that it has revealed truth to us. The Lord has used it to show us how fragile our circumstances actually are and how foolish we were to tie our contentment to circumstances. The Lord has used it to show us that the only way to get off the ups and downs of the roller coaster, the only way to live is to say, for me to live is Christ, to tie my contentment to the one who does not go up and down. Tie your heart to Christ. Tie your heart to Christ, and you will find in the coming days and weeks and months and years that whatever happens through all the ups and downs of life, if you have him, then you have 100 reasons to rejoice. Let's pray. I have learned the secrets of being content in any and every situation. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would teach us the lesson that Paul learned. Teach us to be people who so tie our hearts to you, tie our contentment to you, that we can say with Paul, we have learned the secret of being content in any situation. And we pray that for our good, and we pray that for the glory of your name. Amen.
What have you got? So we've got some questions for you. Let's start with one which got the most number of votes. So how does this work out when our relationship with Jesus feels broken?
I've just been reading a book at the moment, which I would love everyone to read. It's called Gentle and Lowly, and it's about the heart of Christ. And I think one of the reasons our relationship with Jesus feels broken is because we don't get just how compassionate he is and how much he loves us and how much he wants us. So in other words, we need to hear the story that Naomi was teaching us using the Sylvanians earlier, which is we think when I've messed up, that disqualifies me from a relationship with Jesus. So I better put in a bit of sort of sorting myself out before he'll have me back. And actually, Jesus reaches out to those who know they're messed up. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So I think Why does your relationship with Jesus feel broken? And sometimes it's because you're so aware of your weakness, your frailty, your failings and your sin. And you think, well, he won't have me. Well, he is the friend of sinners. He precisely reaches out to you because you are broken. And I've found that really good medicine for myself. But I guess if I was talking to you individually, we'd have to explore why you feel the relationship feels broken. But if it's because you have sinned, then know that he is the friend to sinners. And he is the one who comes after you and has paid for your sins and embraces you and welcomes you as a friend. That's been good medicine for me anyway.
Mm. Yes, wonderful news. I think time for one more question. So verse 11 says Paul learned how to be content.
Yeah.
How can we learn? Does this mean we need to go through trials to learn how to be content?
I think it probably does. That's to say, you want to meet someone who has learnt that Christ is all they need. It's often because they've had other things taken away from them. And so Paul, at the beginning of his letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, talks about how all these bad things happen to him that he might learn not to rely on himself, but on God. He talks in our letter, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also suffer for him." In other words, saying you've been given a gift. You've been given the chance to suffer for Christ. And you're thinking, that's not much of a gift. But actually, that is a gift because it's in suffering so often that we learn how precious Jesus is. So don't be surprised if the Lord leads you through hard times, because so often those are the times when we really cling on to Jesus, because naturally we seek our contentment and our satisfaction in all these other things that don't really deliver. And in his kindness, he wants us for himself, because he is where the treasure is, the real treasure. And often talk to Christians who've been through hard times, and often they say those were really hard times, but they were times of blessing. The psalmist says, "It was good for me to be afflicted." I mean, what? Because through that affliction, he learned to go God's ways.